maybe you should stop.
I mean, I think that, you know, when I examine my life to date and think about the useful things I've done with it so far, I'd have to say very high on that list is making a convert out of Larry Lessig.
Yeah.
Because when I first ran across him, he was of a very different set of viewpoints on this than he is now. And he's always going to be, I think, by temperament and nature, he's always going to be much more pessimistic than I am. I mean, I'm an almost pathological optimist. So, you know, we'll always have that division. And one thing about optimism is that it believes that people are inherently good, and that, you know, if freedom is allowed to prosper, then goodwill will arise from below. Pessimism always believes that people are inherently rotten and must be controlled from above, and that's kind of the difference. But I mean, I think it's been a really good symbiosis. As I said when I started to discuss this with him, I think that, you know, our disagreements have been fruitful. I mean, the dynamic between his point of view and mine on these matters has been useful to a lot of other people as well.
So let's come to your view of the debate. The dialogue before it was a lecture by Larry Lessig, and while he's a very pessimistic person who thinks we have 20 years no chance to change law and maybe technology, you have another view. What is your view?
Well, my view is that, you know, if we just keep pressing the system where it breaks, eventually the system is so broken and so obviously broken that there's no choice but for people to start evolving another economic model. And that's actually what's already happening rather rapidly. I mean, it was interesting after that conference where I was talking to these, you know, the usual suspects. They were suddenly, for the first time, friendly as lost dogs. You know, previously I'd been the devil, and now they were regarding me as, you know, maybe somebody that could show them out the way out of the darkness, which I thought was a significant shift. So I think that we need to continue. I think he's being a little overreactive when he says, you know, acts of terrorism. I just think we need to continue breaking their system. And, you know, what happens is exactly what happened not half a mile from here, eventually. You know, it breaks and it breaks and it breaks, and then one day the whole damn thing goes down. And when copyright in the virtual world, and I'm not against copyright in the physical world. I'm not against copyright as it pertains to actual copies of things. You know, books and CDs and things of that nature. But when it's become obvious that it's just simply not going to work in cyberspace, I think you'll see a collapse that will be as sudden and surprising as the thing that took this wall down over here. You know, and I was in Germany in the summer of 89, as I expect you were too, and nobody, to my recollection, thought there was a chance that wall was going to be down in 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and everybody was just completely, you know, disconsolate about the irretrievable state of things right at the moment when, you know, we were sort of dropping the last crystal in the supersaturated solution that would cause things to go ping and do a state change. And that's what I think is going to happen. And I think it'll happen a lot quicker than 20 years. I think it'll happen sometime in the next 5, if not less.
What can the people do to crash the system?
Go on and do, I mean, you know, if you want to share something, share it. If, you know, if you want to use something, use it. If you want to, I mean, you know, and come up with, try to do so ethically in the sense that, you know, don't take things without attribution. Attribute. Make sure that the people who did create them actually have the opportunity to get some enhanced reputation and thereby, you know, greater economic return. But, you know, pay no attention to these people when it comes to being creative. Go ahead and do the stuff that Larry showed at the beginning of his talk and do lots of it. And every time they put a lock on, break it. And every time they pass a new law, break that. You know, how many, sooner or later, they're dealing with such a massive level of civil disobedience that they have to address it. And that's where we're headed in, I think, a hell of a hurry. I mean, you go to California, say, and you drive down the 280, which is the sort of the main artery of Silicon Valley, connects to San Francisco, and all those cars are going 85 miles an hour. Well, the speed limit's 65, but it's a good road, and they're good cars generally, and they're good drivers, and there's not a damn thing anybody can do about it. What are they going to do? Arrest the entire highway? No. So the cops are right there cruising along with you at 85 miles an hour. And it's still against the law. But nevertheless, people have asserted the freedom to drive as fast as they think, you know, is reliably safe under those circumstances. And we have to do the same thing.
Okay. Thank you very much.